Ah, for a simple time when only a half dozen of Earth's greatest heroes could get together and stop one guy who was only trying to conquer one planet with one big space hole. The Avengers was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Hello, my name is Sean Collier. I'm here with two retirees who think this is all a little much. It's Robin Hitchcock.
Splash!
And Camila Adams.
Hello.
Cocoon, 65 and a quarter. A full 10 points lower than the X-Files movie, correct?
Yeah.
10 points lower than?
Yeah, because X-Files was 75 and change.
Cocoon is so charming that I think we are quickly forgetting how messed up it is and how wonky the plot is.
Yeah.
And how the characters kind of flow.
Did Addie vote in the mm-hmm. Cocoon one? Oh, okay, so maybe that's
that it. Incorporates okay. Addie's vote. I think the odd thing is Cocoon might be better off inaccessible because it's way better thinking about it than watching it.
Yeah. And like, it's funny because I keep seeing these random IG reels with people talking about, Cocoon, you can no longer, like, why, mm-hmm. like the whole thing now.
Because the algorithm knows that you're into Cocoon content.
Yeah, just once.
That's all it takes. You blink at a poster of Cocoon
exactly.
in an old video store, and all of a sudden, your Instagram knows. But there's no more Cocoon time. It's one of the biggest movies of all time. And I cannot, it's probably because it's 14 years and my brain is decaying, but I don't really remember what it was like when I saw this. I assume it was a screening. Mm. I had been reviewing for 3 or 4 years at that point. But I don't like, I don't remember the day the way I remember.
Yeah, I don't
a lot of things.
I don't remember the day, but I do remember being excited about it,
mm-hmm.
And really enjoying it. I think this was because this whole thing, this explosion of the cinematic Marvel universe, was my intro to like really feeling the superhero fangirl.
Oh, okay.
Situation. Like I you know, obviously like I grew up with, you know, Superman and Star Wars and all that, but it never really got me. Like I was never really into it. I watched it, I experienced it, I knew whatever, but I just not like fucking once I saw Iron Man and then mm-hmm. just getting, I'm like, "All right, let's and then every movie after that it was just like, fuck yeah until you know, we get to this. I just thought I would never leave this dream. And now I'm like
32 movies later.
Right. I'm like, I think we can leave the superheroes alone, guys.
Right. As we discussed in our very recent Avengers 2 Age yeah. of Ultron episode, mm-hmm. we all kind of lost the taste for this.
How many Marvel movies have we talked about?
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. I know so, we did Ant-Man. Iron Man 3.
Correct.
Two Avengers.
Age of Ultron.
One.
We did a Guardian.
I was just going to say, yeah. there's a Guardians in yeah. there somewhere.
It's two, I think.
I think so. I don't think we did the yeah. first one.
Yeah.
I don't think we did the first of a lot of these. Like, this might be the...
So we've hit enough.
Yeah.
Let's go home. no, it's... I'm still... I can still get caught up when I'm sitting there watching it.
And I did this time. I watched all of phase one over the past week with Colin. And I kind of said like, maybe let's put on Iron Man.
Yeah.
And if we have a good time watching Iron Man, we'll keep watching Marvel movies until it comes time that I have to watch the Avengers. And we watched all of them because we had a great time. Yeah. So like that felt good, especially because like, I don't know about y'all. I'm like, low key, I think we kind of talked about this. I'm like a little depressed about how little I care about Doomsday.
Yeah, I know, right?
It makes me sad, especially with the Robert Downey Jr. of it all.
Right. I watched one of the, like a compilation of the teasers yesterday, of the Doomsday teasers. And I was like, I was really like kind of forcing myself to like really be, ooh, geeked up. about it.
Do you know what it feels like? It feels like if your ex is dating someone like way too young, or just there's just this stink of desperation about it, and you feel bad on multiple levels. Yeah. The part of you that ever cared about that person feels bad for them.
Right.
You feel bad that you dated that person.
That I ever let them see me naked.
Right. That's what it feels like.
This is all... we have segments. When we're done with the segments, I'm going to start a sentence that says, this is all Jonathan Major's fault. Because it kind of is. No, segments. It's been a long time since you've seen the Avengers, full stop. Unless you're in Britain, because I forgot to write this down, so don't let me forget it again. They had to retitle it in England.
Because of Emma Peel, et cetera.
Because there's that spy series.
Yeah.
Right.
So I used to watch that when I was little.
Me too. I remember thinking that was extremely cool. Yeah. And then do you remember when they made the horrible movie with Ralph Fiennes and
Uma Thurman?
Uma Thurman, yes. Yeah.
I was very disappointed.
So it was Marvel's Avengers Assemble in England. But everywhere else, it's just playing the Avengers. That might be the shortest.
I thought it was Marvel's The Avengers.
I think it's Marvel's.
It depends on which poster you're looking at. Anyway, you need to know what happened because it's 30 movies ago, and how could you possibly remember? So here's Marvel's ex, Camila, with your 60-second recap.
Tesseract, Loki, brainwash, assemble, roll call, fanboy, mission, bickering, captured, trickery, bromance, battle, murder, cards, guilt, plan, action, New York, portal, aliens, wrecked, shambles, victims, rescue, victory, PTSD, shawarma.
Correct.
Oh, yay! I love that. It was like a word cloud.
Yes.
And if you have seen this, which is everyone.
Right.
That's all you need. Exactly. You're like, okay, this is the with the Tesseract and the New York and the shawarma.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Good. I'll try to do this part just as quickly because we just did one of these, so I don't have much to go over. The Avengers was released May 4th, 2012. It wasn't a holiday yet. It was the 13th number one movie of that year. $207 million in its opening weekend.
Fancy Moses.
That broke the record at the time for the highest grossing weekend ever. Previously, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 had a $169 million opening weekend, so it
broke it by a lot.
Nearly $40 million higher. This was the first film ever to have a $200 million weekend. The highest opening weekend list currently, Endgame, $357 million, which is still
And remember
stunning.
When they were like, it is physically impossible for Endgame to make more than $300 million, and then the movie theaters were like, we're going to figure it out.
And they were open 24 hours.
I saw it at 9 a.m.
Yeah,
yeah.
They just didn't stop.
Right.
Big drop off from that. Spider-Man No Way Home is actually number two. Spider-Man No Way Home, which is the post-COVID one. Mm.
I was just going to say, fine. Which one is it?
That's the one with all the Spider-Man.
The one with the Spider-Man.
Yeah, $260 million. Infinity War was $257. Star Wars The Force Awakens was $247. Last Jedi was $220 million. Deadpool and Wolverine was $211.
Embarrassing.
I liked that
movie. Oh, I hated that so much.
You didn't like Deadpool and Wolverine?
I watched it on TV. Yeah. Does that... It just is the same fucking thing over and over and over again. It's like, dun da da, this character, they fall on their face, another fight.
Yeah, but I thought it was, there's nowhere this sentence goes that isn't pretentious. I thought that it was a very timely commentary on the way that we consume and use up and discard these characters.
Yeah. I respect that interpretation, and I love that little montage over the end.
Yeah.
But I hated watching it.
And when Chris Evans turned out to be Johnny, what's his name?
That
was really funny.
That was funny.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like that over and over and over again.
I don't know. I'm a sucker for that.
Yeah. Too many of the same bit.
Well, we'll probably land on it eventually. Jurassic World, the first new one, just beat the Avengers, $208 million. This movie is still the eighth highest opening weekend of all time, 14 years later, which is pretty impressive. Also, the first movie to have a $100 million second weekend, made a total of $623 million, remains the 14th top grossing film of all time, just behind Barbie.
Cool.
I didn't know Barbie got that high.
I mean, I saw it three times.
Yeah.
I think I did too. This was third all time at the time of its release. It has dropped since, but, you know, hanging on very well. Expensive Baubles.
Expensive Baubles.
Oh, I didn't know this got nominated for
one Oscar.
Visual effects?
Visual effects. Okay. Lost two?
Life of Pi?
Life of Pi.
Which, you know what? I watched that movie and thought that was a real fucking tiger.
Yeah. I have not. I have read the book and seen the stage play. I have not seen the movie.
Life of Pi remains the best 3D movie experience I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yes. Sorry, James Cameron.
Oscar awarded to a visual effects studio that was already out of business at the time of the Oscars.
That's terrible.
Visual effects is not a sustainable business model right now. Anyway, yes, there's only one Oscar nomination for visual effects, but it sure nabbed that MTV Movie Award. Movie of the Year, The Avengers, ahead of or beating out The Dark Knight Rises, Django Unchained, Silver Linings Playbook, and Ted.
That's fair.
And on that list, I'm like, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
You chose it. It won maybe one or two others. Tom Hiddleston won Best Villain.
Okay.
Over Javier Bardem in Skyfall. Leo in Django Unchained. Okay, you got competition there. But then both Marion Cotillard and Tom Hardy in Dark Knight Rises.
Marion Cotillard?
Yeah, I know.
In Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
Who was she?
She's Talia al Ghul. Exactly.
I'm trying to think if I give it to Tom Hardy.
You can't under it's there was something wrong with that production, like the voice production for Tom, because as much as I love Tom,
I was gonna say,
like, we all know I love Tom, right? Love me some Hardy. But it took me out of it, like, every time. I was born of darkness.
I was like, who's gonna say it first?
What's funny is I used to do that to Kaj, and she cracked the fuck up when she was a baby. But yeah, so it was something wrong. Like, technically, it was wrong. And I will give it to Loki, because he's so damn charismatic.
Yes. And yes, this one, Best Fight. How could it not?
Which what? Which fight? All fights?
The whole end. Yeah. The whole last half hour.
The last half hour.
One Best Fight over, God, this is why we don't have these anymore. Christian Bale and Tom Hardy in Dark Knight Rises, Jamie Foxx and some henchmen in Django. They got almost Razzies-ish in, like, if a movie feels like an MTV Movie Awards movie, just put it in every category.
Got it.
Daniel Craig versus somebody in Skyfall, and Mark Wahlberg and Seth MacFarlane in Ted. Come on.
It's they've got the problem the Oscars have. All of their Best Picture nominees are in the craft categories.
This is silly. But good for the Avengers for the three-time MTV Movie Award, the Avengers. We check in on this every now and then. The MTV Movie Awards are probably dead.
They are, right? They're no more.
They have it. The last one was in 2023. In 2024 and 2025, they both were like, not right now, but it'll be back next year. And this year they haven't even said anything.
My prediction is that it will come back for, like, when's the 50th anniversary of MTV?
I thought we just did that.
No, oh, we just did the. It's like 82.
No, wait. I just
right?
turned 50. So yeah. So it's younger than me.
Yes. There you go.
So sometime in the next. So like sometime 5 years, the future. 5 or 6
that's
years.
That's the birth order: Camila, MTV, Robin, me. But they put all their eggs in the VMAs basket, and they put the VMAs on other networks now. I don't know why they're gonna.
And also, it's not a video music channel anymore.
That's
true. Like, it's they don't. Yeah. They don't uplift the music video like they used to. It's no longer on a pedestal, so I don't understand why they're bothering.
They still,
like,
have VMAs.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're just going to pick one, I would go for movies.
I agree.
That does seem more. I mean, they do show movies sometimes,
right?
Between 14 hours of ridiculousness and then showing The Wedding Singer and calling it a day. Anyway, this is just the sixth film, as Robin discovered this week. It felt like they did in my mind, they did so much more legwork before they got here.
Because at the time, this was something, this was a little bit of a piece of work for.
Yeah.
Also, like, each intro movie was like two and a half hours long, too. So, yeah, they did do a lot of legwork.
And it's, what, 4 years, four calendar mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. of buildup.
Iron Man, Hulk with Edward Norton.
Oh, we didn't actually watch Hulk. We didn't watch all of Phase 1. Hulk barely counts.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
It's, like, it's the redheaded stepchild.
Like, you get, like, what, 2 minutes in the post-credit scene or yeah. something?
Yeah, and also, like, it just doesn't have the feel.
Mm-hmm. No.
It just doesn't feel like an MCU movie. It's like Rescuers Down Under is technically part of the Disney Renaissance, but, like, is it?
Iron Man 2 was the third movie. That's another thing I didn't remember, possibly because I've never seen Iron Man 2.
It's not very good.
How? How?
For the entire length of this podcast, I've been saying there's two I haven't seen, Iron Man 2 and Captain America the First Avenger.
While I was watching Captain America the First Avenger, I kept thinking, Sean really should watch this.
I bet it's good.
You would like it.
Iron Man, Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, the First Avenger, and then the Avengers. This concluded Phase 1. Phase 2 began with Iron Man 3 a year later. As a reminder, we are currently in Phase 6, which will continue with Spider-Man Brand New Day at the end of July. We are just about 6 weeks away from Brand New Day.
I mean, I'm going to see it.
Yeah, that's
as well as Doomsday.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to see these
I'm
movies.
I'm going to answer the DM. Well, stick with Robin's X analogy.
Part of it is at this early stage, sometimes you would get two in a year, but they also deliberately took a lot of year-long breaks. Mm. And now they're doing that again. When Spider-Man comes out, it'll be about a year since Fantastic Four. Mm. If they had had this losing interest problem 5-6, and for some of us they did, 5-6 years ago when they were like clockwork putting out three of these a year, right? And even then, like, I was still pretty on board then, but there are movies that I liked, like Shang-Chi. I saw Shang-Chi
that
twice.
Movie's good.
It's pretty good. If that came out 3 months after after Fantastic Four, I would have really been groaning.
Yeah,
you know, so they're spacing it out a little bit better. The only things we're getting in the next year and a half are this Spider-Man, the first part, Doomsday, and then another Avengers a year later. Like they're not putting anything in between.
Okay,
except for all those Disney Plus series that we talked about last time.
Yeah,
that's what's coming up. Black Panther 3 allegedly in 2028, but they are not really confirming anything after Secret Wars. Bad title. What else? Fun facts, very briefly. They were not sure they were going to come to terms with Scarlett Johansson.
What do you mean?
They were not convinced that she was going to sign on.
Oh.
And so there are mid-level drafts of this where she isn't there and she is replaced with the Wasp.
Oh, cool.
Played by Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no.
No,
like, I mean, Lily Evangeline, is that her name?
Yeah.
Other way around, but yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's fine, like, but I could not imagine.
She's a lot better than...
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like Zooey Deschanel, but she can't...
No, she's not menacing.
Her, that energy, and then the way that Tony Stark is too much would just be too much.
Yeah.
Those are two different flavors of too much. That it's not like chocolate and peanut butter.
No.
You really
like
needed
cayenne pepper.
You really needed
lemon juice.
Actually, that goes together really great, Camila.
I'm no Gordon Ramsay.
Okay.
Just pulling shit out of the air.
You needed Ruffalo's understated cuddliness to balance out the Tony
it's
Stark.
It's Ruffalo, right?
I don't know.
I think it's Ruffalo.
It's been Ruffalo my whole life.
But it's more adorable when it's Ruffalo.
Ruffalo!
Who's a Ruffalo?
Who's a good Ruffalo?
Heffalumps and Ruffalos.
Mark, if you're out there, hit us up. Let us know the proper way.
I'm sure it's Ruffalo.
And you're a good boy.
He'll call us and spoil the next three movies. He can't stop. This is his debut, by the way. Obviously,
right.
He was not in any, and he was not in the three movies between the Edward Norton Hulk and this.
Colin and I were talking about this through watching Phase 1. Between replacing Terrence Howard with Don Cheadle and replacing Edward Norton with Mark Ruffalo, they upgrade so well.
Absolutely.
Everybody in those movies needs to understand how replaceable they are, which I guess, I don't know, maybe this goes back to the Jonathan Majors of it all. Like, recasting is possible.
I forget, who is he supposed to...
I'm almost there.
Okay.
Yes, a very limited amount of second unit photography was completed, like, here-ish. Mm. A lot of this movie was filmed in Ohio, around Cleveland, but... I can't figure out if it was just landscapes or like true second unit, there are no actors in this type right. photography. I have in some places seen the underground mine escape stuff. Uh-huh. Was at a underground mushroom mine, which is apparently a thing.
Here in Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania makes so many mushrooms, you have no idea.
Worthington, Pennsylvania. So allegedly that was all filmed right over there. Interesting. And what's the last thing? Oh, Captain America does not eat shawarma because he was wearing a prosthetic jaw to cover his beard. Because they called everyone back in to do the shawarma right. scene. He was filming Snowpiercer at the time.
Adorable.
They said, just put on this prosthetic jaw. He thought it looked ridiculous. So he sat there with his face in his hands and refused to eat shawarma. So
the
next
shawarma
time,
thing
watch
is
that.
So great.
It's really adorable.
It's so good. And I am one of those people who's like, they went way too far with mid and post credit scenes over the years.
Yeah.
This is what the ideal post credit scene is right. to me. Like, little joke.
Right. Don't give me important information that I got to sit through another 45 mm-hmm. minutes of credits right. for. And mm-hmm. then, you know, like I've already held in my pee long right? like to get to this point and now you're holding me hostage.
Well, usually there's enough time to go pee and
oh,
come
yeah,
back.
Oh yeah, I'll go pee and then yeah. come back if it's necessary. No, love that. Made me want shawarma. Maybe I'll get shawarma today. Yeah. Okay. Jonathan Majors. Here's the thing. I know we have this debate all the time. There's some perfectly acceptable ones, but Loki and Thanos are the only good Marvel villains, right?
I mean,
Killmonger?
Yeah.
It's
yeah, Black, he's great.
Black Panther is almost its own thing.
Yeah, no, that's you know what? That's completely legitimate. Okay. I fully accept that argument. Yeah. Okay. Does Ben Kingsley's character in Iron Man 3, etc., count?
No.
I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, because I love that character. Oh,
there are perfectly acceptable. Ghost is a perfectly acceptable one. Like, there sure. are others that I like.
Okay, fair. But
they're not,
sake,
like, iconic.
Right.
We will stick with Loki and Thanos.
Loki and Thanos are Joker Catwoman-level villains.
Yeah, yeah.
And no one else really is. Right. I really think that Kang the Conqueror could have been that.
Yeah.
Mainly because Jonathan Majors, villain though he is, is such a great
fantastic actor.
Yeah.
And what film did we introduce that idea? I don't remember. I remember seeing it.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure he first popped up in one of the TV shows, but was in that one Ant-Man movie.
I think it was like Loki or something that we got.
That sounds true. Yeah. I never watched Loki. Okay.
Yeah, Quantumania and Loki.
Okay.
I think the first season of Loki. The first season of Loki. It was something else by the second season.
Yeah.
He's so good. And having this antagonist who's like, y'all have been fucking around too much.
Yes.
And I'm going to, you know, take advantage of that, deal with it.
Right.
Is a really good way to play this very problem we're talking
about.
Yeah.
And they clearly had such a plan for that. And because this asshole
is an asshole,
now they're scrambling. And I think that going like, okay, we're going to begin folding in the X-Men and pull the Doctor Doom lever is a decent like way of dealing with that. But clearly it's all like, we had to scramble and this is what you get.
I don't understand why they just couldn't recast him.
That's what I'm saying.
Like...
Yeah. They know instead how to recast.
Right. Like, as much as I love Yaya as Wonder Man.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have pulled Kang off.
Yeah. Throw him in there.
I wonder if this was also happening at the time when everyone was saying what we're saying right now. Mm. When everyone was saying, like, this doesn't work. This is, and I'm not buying it. I'm not doing all this homework. So I think they were like, also, we need a shot in the arm. And they did this Robert Downey Jr. Doctor Doom thing, which I know we've said it on the podcast before. Yeah. I was starting to get legitimately angry this week in anticipation of them fucking up because this is perfect. This makes perfect sense. And I buy it if the story is that's Tony Stark
right.
from
right.
another right. universe that X, Y, and Z, and he became Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
I bet you they're not going
to
do that.
You think it's
going
to be, hello, my name is Victor Von Doom, and right. I happen to look just like Tony Stark?
Yes. Ugh. Yeah.
Or even worse, that it's like, it's a magic spell just for them to, all seeing Tony because that's who they want to see.
No. Absolutely not.
No. Let's get mad about that movie in 6 months. here's what I will say about this rewatch. And I am super busy and I actually watched this over 3 days, which is not good. Mm. That is not how you are supposed to do it. That said, the first sitting, I was bored.
Really?
The second sitting, I was mostly bored. Mm. The third sitting was just New York and I had a great time.
Huh. That was weird.
I think it's
200 podcasts later.
And I think it's the 30 movies in between. I mean, they've gone so big that, like, now if you're telling me this is a little standalone story about Captain Marvel, I can get my mentally on board with, like, this is fundamentally one plot. Yeah. But to have an Avengers movie, the big team up, and 40% of it is about Hawkeye being brainwashed, I'm like, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough to keep me engaged in a world where I saw three Spider-Men fight together.
Interesting.
You know, that's not really a reflection of this movie.
Right.
Although I do think, like, why the fuck was this so Hawkeye and Black Widow focused?
Maybe it's because at this point we have Tony's story, we've got Cap's story, we've got Hulk's story told like two, three different ways, and then they did not foresee that there was good, like, honestly, at that time, I don't think Hawkeye and Black Widow were strong enough characters to have pulled off their own realm. And I, like, but yeah, we'll get into that later. But so maybe that was it. They were just trying to, like, shoehorn. Like, I agree with you that this is kind of too much movie.
Mm.
Even though I enjoy it, and it's not for the big explosions and the big bang boom, as it's not why I enjoy it. I like the dialogue, the snark, the little jokes, the, you know, that stuff in between. That's what keeps me entertained.
I completely agree. First of all, I think you're 100% right that the reason they spend so much time with Black Widow and Hawkeye is because we need to get to know them. Mm. And I think also some of it is Joss Whedon identifying with the most human characters is kind of the thing he does. Yes. But I completely agree with you that for me, it's fun to watch because it's like watching the pilot episode of a TV show where it's like everybody has slightly different hair. You know what I mean? It's like the everything's so simple,
right?
They're just, it's like, this is a one-on-one fight with a henchman? Like, okay.
Wow. It's, you know, been so long.
Yes.
Nostalgia.
The Hulk rampages in the whatever those things are, helicarrier scene.
Yes, yes.
Right. That is like, I'm like, this is just simple, beautiful, compared to like the Hulk tearing apart Johannesburg in Avengers 2.
Yeah.
I'm like, look how clean and neat this is.
How contained.
Yes.
This nonsense is.
So everyone had a better time than me?
It sounds like it.
I might have just watched it wrong. Well, I might have needed to like sit down and make popcorn and give myself over to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like we ordered shawarma.
You did? That's so cute. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I love a theme meal.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that, I think maybe that helped. And also again, just removing, I mentally I was like, okay, let's just forget about the stuff that comes after this.
Yes.
And let's just watch it as if. You know,
and also you were mentioning like you don't really remember seeing this in the movie theater. This is a moment in time for me because it was a week before I moved to Cape Town.
Oh,
and so it is like
the last.
Was this
US?
The last movie you saw?
I think
in
this
US?
Was the last movie I saw in the U.S. The first movie I saw in Cape Town was Prometheus. Just the feeling of like America. You know what I mean? felt really great at the time.
Was it just me or did Loki look strung out?
I wrote down, why is Loki having liver failure? I think they wanted him to look more evil. They were like, let's give you evil organ failure.
Right, because that was the first thing that struck me. Because
especially in the beginning.
Right, because I was like struggling. I was like, what did Loki go through in the first, in Thor before this? Because I don't remember.
Well, he fell off. I did watch Thor. So remember how they've got that rainbow bridge?
Yes.
Okay. Thor breaks the rainbow bridge.
Right.
So that Loki can't destroy Earth or something. Yeah. And Loki falls off.
Okay.
So Loki is like presumed dead at the end of Thor.
Okay.
But I guess he falls off and lands safely on Earth.
In a pile of pillows.
Yes.
I mean, he really can't die. He has many times in the series up until this
point. I remember when he did, air quotes, die, I was like, I'm not feeling anything right now. My emotions refuse to get engaged with this.
Well, no, that's... Is Phil Coulson the most prominent character to die? Well, I guess...
He doesn't die. He comes back.
They had
a whole TV show around that guy.
Yeah.
A real TV show.
Yeah.
He came back?
Yeah.
Sure did.
For the whole TV show.
But he's not back in the
I don't remember.
Movies, I do not think he ever came back to the movies, but he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He was the main character.
Yep.
Okay, so no one ever dies. Iron Man, spoilers for the biggest movie of all time. But like...
But no, Doctor but not. Doom. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And nothing ends.
Yeah.
And to be fair, that has always been true of comic books.
Yeah. Sure. And that's fine, but like, I don't know. I think the gravitas missed me, partially because the trading cards looked really dumb. But the gravitas missed me this time. As much as I like that character, it's like he's practically a, what do you call them on Star Trek?
Red shirt.
In that they looked around this room and said, "Who can we get away with killing?"
Felt like that whole. Fury talking to him after the fact felt like when after a kid is like fucked around too much in the house. Now you see what happens. This is why we don't play ball in the house.
That's why you always leave a note.
This is why we don't yell inside. That Arrested Development, my beloved bit.
Yeah,
I fucking love it. So that's what that felt like to me. It was just like everybody being pulled to task. It's like, oh, they're all looking very guilty at that point.
Do you think he used Coulson's blood? Did he, like, dab it on the actual corpse, or did he find somebody else's blood?
I think that had to be ketchup. It was too red.
Okay.
It was, you know.
Because I was trying to.
I think Nick Fury would source some real blood.
I was trying to come to terms with Fury just being like,
dab on the corpse.
Dip it in here real quick. Which brings me to, it just occurred to me that I'm pretty sure Fury's wearing Blade's coat.
They still say that movie is going to happen. Maybe it starts with Mahershala walking in and go, "Give me my coat."
That's what I'm hoping.
They have officially canceled Blade. Blade is dead.
No. You can't. Okay.
I mean, confirm this. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong.
Not to say that the original Blade was fine, wonderful, still, you know, hold it dear to my heart, but I was really looking forward to Mahershala.
Yeah, me too.
Playing Blade.
Am I right?
Conflicting rumors.
Okay.
There are rumors that it was totally canceled. Well, there are other people saying, no, it's not. Oh,
okay. Listeners, hold out hope.
I know. It's already been, what, 10 years?
Right.
Since they've been promising?
Marvel's Blades. This is about a video game. The answer is, we don't know. But most of the stuff they started teasing around that time is no longer on the calendar. Mm. It is interesting that... You know, this is the first point in the 20 years or so. It's been more than 20 years, hasn't it?
MCU is 18 years.
18 years old?
Yeah.
2008.
I figured this out because while we were watching Iron Man, I went, this is the last date I went on with someone other than Colin.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, our relationship is almost as old as the MCU.
As old as the MCU.
And we're almost 18 years.
This is the first time in a long time where they're like, we're going to do things, but we're not going to tell you right now.
Sure.
Which is probably best.
Yeah. I mean, they announced so much. Blade was announced at the same time. They dropped a lot of, and this, and this, mm-hmm. and this, and this. And it's like, well, a lot can happen between now and then. And I think in this case it did.
Yeah,
I hope that's wrong. I hope they get back.
Yeah, I mean, one... Yeah, I don't know if this is what you were talking about, but like one thing we'll never totally understand is how much of everybody kind of losing interest in the MCU is that Endgame landed the plane. How much is it's just a matter of time, and how much is there was a whole fucking pandemic.
Yeah.
Like the world where we all cared about the MCU is gone, right? Yeah, that world does not exist anymore.
But I just told you the 8 highest grossing movies of all time, and 2 of them are post-Endgame MCU movies.
That's true.
I mean, they were the 2 crossoveriest, gimmickiest, meta-ist things they've ever done.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think it's less that people are done or people wouldn't get back on board, and more that they assumed a level of automatic attendance that is no longer there.
Right.
I mean, if you look at, you know, everything we've talked about box office wise recently, the hits are surprising and things that should hit are missing.
Right.
Right. So most of these movies are still good. There are some that aren't, but like, you know, I don't think it's that the Marvels is a bad movie. Some people say it is. I like the Marvels. I don't think it's that the Marvels is a bad movie. It's that they said, we don't need to like come up with, you have to see this because people are just coming.
Gotcha.
And now they're going
to have to. And nobody is just coming to the Marvels.
No.
Right.
I don't think and so. No one really just, I mean, Fantastic Four did well ish. That Captain America did bad.
I think it's more on Pedro. That was what I think Pedro brought folks in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
For Fantastic there you go. Four.
That's, we're on too many subjects other than this delightful movie. But there.
You all seen it.
Fantastic Four just doesn't work as a movie. We keep trying.
It's a lot of it is because Mr. Fantastic's powers do not work in motion.
The stretchy guy.
Yeah. That only works in comic panels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this movie.
Yes.
Who's your favorite classic Avenger?
Tony.
Yeah, that got to be Tony.
Captain America by so much.
Really?
Yes. I will say, why? I think that this, because he's innately good.
Okay.
He's a good man. And hot.
Yeah, I was looking at him in this one. I was like, you know what? I'm pretty sure Chris Evans has the perfect body. Like, look at that little tush.
That's America's ass.
That is America's ass.
I do think that this is the movie that Captain America is the worst characterized in. Like, he's very annoying for a lot of, like, he's like, Tony, you're... stop acting the way you act. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, to me, the interesting stories within this story are Captain America, Man Out of Time, trying to figure out, you know, what his role is in a vastly different culture.
Right.
And what's up with Hulk? Are you angry? What's happening? Like, those are the interesting stories.
Yeah.
And that's why it bothered me that, like, somebody got brainwashed and is mad about it is just not an interesting, and I like them fine, but that I kept wanting to get back to the interesting stuff, and I think that Captain America was a little undersold in this movie.
I like the instant rivalry between Tony and Captain.
It does and make sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing.
It was like Tony had been had this in his chamber for years, and it was like he had already decided on sight, I am going in on
because
Captain
of his daddy issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So this is like some sort of sibling rivalry,
right?
That Tony has like geared up in his mind for however many years, and Captain's like, "Whoa, hey, I just got here,
and also you're obnoxious."
Right.
I do think my favorite interaction amongst the Avengers is Tony and the Hulk or Bruce, just geeking out together
over each other, over everything. It's just like,
oh. Hello, fellow nerd.
It's like, oh my god, finally someone who understands me.
Yes, I love it. Let's go to the trailer.
You were made to be ruled. In the end, it will be every man for himself.
What do?
We get ready.
There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. So when we needed them, they could fight the battles that we never could.
Gentlemen.
What are you prepared to do?
No offense, but I don't play well with others.
Big man in a suit of armor. Take that away. What are you?
A genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
If we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn sure we'll avenge it.
Dr. Banner, your work is unparalleled, and I'm a huge fan of the way you lose control and turn into an enormous green rage monster.
Thanks.
Because the trailer has a lot of the really good lines.
Yeah, and that it gave me chills.
No,
again,
good.
Like, it's again, and also like use a Nine Inch Nails song.
I was just gonna say the Nine Inch Nails song took me out because yeah. I was not ready for it to feel so 2012. That trailer really makes it clear this movie is 14 years old.
Yeah.
They're not as good at these anymore either.
No. Because that was a good trailer.
They're always doing the like, oh my God, there's going to be a trailer on Friday, and you watch it and you're like, okay.
It's Captain America cuddling a baby.
Right.
Or even the what the hell Spider-Man is about to happen?
Brand new day.
Home is where the heart is. There's no place
like
home.
I hate the subtitles for this. Spider-Man.
Really me too.
That's like... All that trailer did was remind me what is happening in the Spider-Man series right now.
I mean, which, to be fair, I did need a reminder.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. Everybody forgot he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, I absolutely forgot that as well.
Have we done the
spell worked.
Have we done this Letterboxd list yet? The Letterboxd 500 most watched movies of all time?
Oh, my.
I don't know.
That is where we are for... today's Letterboxd list, Avengers is the 57th most logged movie on Letterboxd.
Huh.
Bet you can't get number one.
Wizard of Oz.
Ted.
No.
Most logged.
Seven.
No.
I don't know why I chose that.
Probably pretty high. No, I'm thinking that Fight Club is number two.
Fight Club is two.
Mm-hmm.
Scarface.
No. It's youngins, and a lot of the youngins...
Is it a Harry Potter?
No, Letterboxd skews younger than us, and much to my dismay, a lot of young people really struggle with pre-like 1995.
Huh.
Okay, Sean Collier.
Yeah.
Are you really judging people for not watching movies that came out before they started getting into movies?
I changed that, remember? Okay. I underwent a transition at the age of about 35.
All right, they'll get there too.
I'm just explaining.
All right, how about Shrek?
Saw.
No, no. Let's count down the top 10. Ratatouille, number 10.
Wow.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is number 9. La La Land is number 8. That's shocking.
Baffling.
Because, and I'm a famous La La Land defender, but I don't know a single human being who has gone back to it since 2016.
Right? I have.
I made
Colin watch it with me, and then one day I was like, you know what I want to do right now? Watch the end of La La Land and cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. Have you seen La La Land?
Yeah.
Remember how sad the end is?
No.
Okay.
I did not cry. I was pissed off by most of that movie.
This is a lesson in sometimes you need time to evaluate a movie, because that year, when the week of Critics' Choice voting, I was like, I need to watch La La Land and Moonlight back again to decide which one's better.
Mm.
And now it's like, I don't need to decide that. Moonlight.
Easily. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the best movie of the decade. But, you know, things feel different in the moment. Dark Knight is number 7. Joker is number 6.
Oof.
Truman Show is 5.
Huh. I like that.
Yeah.
Parasite is 4.
I like that.
Barbie is 3.
Mm. I like that.
Fight Club is 2.
Love it.
You're not going to like number 1.
Ah, fucking hell.
Except that, I like number 1 because I was right all along. Because when Aaron and I walked out of this movie to record an episode of You Can't Handle the Truth, we said this is going to grow in reputation and over time, and in 50 years this is going to be like Vertigo, and people are going to be calling this one of the best movies of all time.
It follows.
No. The best, and I mean the best, Christopher Nolan movie. Interstellar.
Oh, gross.
Oh, Interstellar.
Oh, brother.
Interstellar is the most watched movie in the history of Letterboxd.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I told you wouldn't like it.
All right.
Robin just did a long Negro spiritual sigh.
I want even a scrap of a realistic answer to this question. How many arrows can Hawkeye possibly have?
I ask that question every time. Like, and
because
I'm,
at one point he's
back?
Out.
He
and
runs
then he gets
out.
More.
And I'm like, let's not introduce running out at this point.
But then he gets more somewhere.
He picks them out of the dead.
Oh, is that where he gets them?
Chitauri around him.
Yeah.
That's where he gets more. But it's like, don't act. You needed like. oh, Tony invented me a thing that beams arrows, takes the molecules around wherever I am, and turns them into arrows in my hand. Because you fired 3,000 arrows, yeah, and you are wearing a little fanny pack on your back.
You've got like 20 in that pack, yeah. It's, yeah.
Other than that, I don't know why I'm hard on the event. I just went back. I should have done this in advance. I just went back and read my review from 2012. Uh-huh. And it was and it was basically like, it's no The Dark Knight, but it's fun.
It's no The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two totally different tones.
Right.
I do think that if I did a full rewatch and ranked the MCU movies, this would be around the middle. This wouldn't be at the bottom, but it wouldn't. It probably wouldn't crack top 10.
No, I don't think it would for me either.
You know, Infinity War and Endgame might, but I think it would mostly be standalone ones and funny ones.
I think, yeah, like Iron Man 3, I think would definitely be in my top 10.
I mean, I think
Iron Man 3 is in my top 5.
Really?
I love Iron Man 3. As you can listen to our episode about it.
Yes.
I mean, Black Panther's number 1 and
clearly
Iron Man is number 2.
Ragnarok is absolutely top 5.
Winter Soldier, I think, is my number 1.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And I think Black Panther is 2.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier.
That's,
is that the one with the big fight?
Is Civil War the one between?
No,
between,
I'm thinking of Civil War.
You're thinking of Civil War.
That's the one that I would. Yeah,
I love Winter Soldier. I just think it's a tight little thriller.
I like Winter Soldier, but I think I like Civil War more.
Well, we don't have time to rank the movies right now. No. What else is in your notes, Robin?
I want to talk about Harry Dean Stanton.
So good.
One scene wonder.
Did you see the slightly extended scene on Disney Plus?
No, I did not.
Like a full suite of bonus features is on Disney Plus.
Oh, if you wow.
The thing, including a couple deleted scenes. The bad one is an alternate take of the ending that's just way more Kobe Smulders arguing with screens.
Good.
Don't watch that one. Watch the extended version of Harry Dean Stanton and the Hulk, which reveals that he gives the Hulk his motorcycle, and that's why.
I kind of figured.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so good. I love him so much.
I love going back to the, like, why are we focused on the more human Avengers? Mm-hmm. Natasha with just two little pistols fighting an intergalactic war.
We do, like, the 360, and then everyone's got their whatever, and she's like, nah.
To me, that is funnier than fighting aliens with arrows. To me, it is very funny
but I also started to think, like, she is the weapon.
Yes, correct. Much,
like, those thighs, man. Like, the way that she just spider monkeys her way up everybody.
I do not remember. Was Black Widow good, or were we just starved for entertainment? Wasn't
the
that,
movie,
like,
I was,
wasn't
I
that,
didn't
like,
enjoy it. Yeah.
Late 2020 or early 2021?
I think it came out early 2021, and it is one of those movies that has its moments. Mm-hmm. The character, like, I liked David Harbour, and I liked Rachel Weisz, and I liked Florence Pugh.
I love Florence Pugh.
But, yeah, but the movie built around them, big old mess.
It would have been better as a series, as one of Disney.
Yeah, which is not, like, something I normally think.
Right, and, like, Hawkeye's story was told very well in his series, and I think Black Widow could have done the same.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it became an act of obligation. Mm-hmm. Like, we still haven't given you a movie. That's the problem.
They should have done it around 2016.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Like, it should have popped in around Avengers 2.
Right.
And it would have worked very well at that time. But, like, doing it after the character had fucking died? Like, come the fuck on.
Oh, that's who's dead.
Yeah, there
as
you go.
As far as we know, she's not coming back.
Right.
Except the other one, that they did a movie with her afterwards.
The other one in Galaxy, Zoe.
So... she one.
I mean,
of her
I know her doppelganger
timeline people is there, right? But yes, the character that we know and love is dead. I guess yes.
Yeah.
I hate Guardians 3. Anyway, this is Marvel chat with this show. If you actually want this with people who know what they're talking about, listen to the Marveling at Marvel's podcast, which is a longtime sponsor of Enjoy Wrestling. They've been a sponsor the whole time. They know their shit about this, and we're just like. Arrows.
I'm upset that the Hulk moved to one of the most densely populated places in the planet.
to work out his shit.
Right, go to fucking Canada.
Yeah. People are moving to Montana. You can get a deal.
Right. Oh, I did want to say about the Hulk. Everybody talks about, you know, that's my secret cap. I'm always angry. Great line. Mm-hmm. Delivered excellently. Mm-hmm. But for me, the best moment in the entire movie is when he rocks up on Harry Dean Stanton's motorcycle and says, well, this all seems horrible. And I think that so often.
Yes.
Why is that? That should take half of the heat that the Donald Glover walking in with the pizzas to the room on
exactly.
fire.
That is where my brain goes when I'm in a walking into a flaming room with pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I want to talk about Ashley Johnson, featured extra, the little girl from Growing Pains.
Yes, thank you. Nobody ever knows what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So the little girl from Growing Pains,
The jump the shark moment where you know you have to introduce a new child in family sitcoms in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't always there. I never really watched that show.
No, she came up later.
Like
Ben was the baby when they started.
Oh my gosh. So she is the
waitress.
She's present in several of the panicked people running away from alien scenes.
Oh. She gets a nice little like shot and she's like, you know, looking away.
Right. She's in the trailer too.
A name tag.
Yes. So it's very like, did Joss Whedon just fucking love Growing Pains?
Right.
Like what is going on here?
She looks like a featured extra.
Yes.
Like the way the shots are.
Looks like when there's a minor character that pops up and it's like for the real nerds.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But
and then she comes back. Was it in this movie or another movie where they like interview her on TV? And
it's at the very end of this when they're doing the like montage of the world appreciating the Avengers. She says like, Captain America saved my life. Camila, what's going on with us?
We are really vibing today. Like, it's like, no, that's not Diet Coke that I'm drinking.
I'm actually drinking ocean water. It is one of my dusty drinks. It is bright blue. It's Sonic America's Drive-In branded. It's little packets of dust that make flavored water. It is lemonade with a touch of coconut.
I thought this was one of them new dirty soda situations where people are putting dumb stuff in the drinks just to feel alive.
I do not judge anyone doing anything ridiculous at a soda fountain.
To feel alive.
Yeah.
I agree with but it went too far too fast. Like every fast food place you're driving by is like, we have dirty sodas. It's like, you've got dirty a lot of stuff. I'm not trusting you to mix it up.
Dirty just means they put a little lemonade in it, right?
Sometimes it's cream, like coffee creamer.
Oh, gross.
Or heavy cream even sometimes.
Oh, God.
Like,
okay,
the
never
fancy
mind.
Recipes involve like, you're making a cocktail where the base is Coke or whatever.
No, thank you.
All right.
Anywho,
we're here to talk about the damn Avengers.
And then I also wanted to give this movie an extra point for using the Chrysler building as a lightning rod.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We could go on forever.
I like that the Avengers are in New York.
Yes.
In this. I was thinking about how much I remember when I first watched this movie, I had this moment when the New York sequence started where I was like, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Yeah. Right. It was, you know, 10 years after September 11th. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if I can watch New York get destroyed. And they somehow did it. Huh. I don't know how they made it okay by the power of superheroes, I guess.
So I have a like just this last thing from my notes is that Nick Fury mentions that the Tesseract's purpose was to provide unlimited sustainable energy. Did we ever get back to that?
The Tesseract is one of the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, unlimited sustainable energy?
I think
hello.
Any of the Infinity Stones could do that, right?
Maybe. Yes.
Can't they just do anything?
Yeah, they pretty much can do anything. Which Infinity Stone is the Tesseract?
I don't know.
Is it the power? No, that's a different thing.
I think the Power Stone.
Is it literally the Energy Stone?
It might be the Energy Stone.
So maybe it is just this one. But they're all destroyed, right?
The Space Stone?
Oh, it makes sense that it's the Space Stone.
Isn't the thing that happens when Iron Man snaps,
that's
destroys
like,
all of the...
uses it up?
Yeah, I think they're all gone now.
Oh.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a space stone.
They'd make us pay for it anyway. That's that. Whenever that comes up, I'm like, yeah, you say that now, but they'd still get, even it'll go down for a while. Like for a while, it'd be like $70 a month. Right. Like we would still be paying. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to give the Avengers anything other than a very high score. But I wasn't
you
all the way.
Bored.
I wasn't all the way there this time. I'll go to a still very respectable 77.
Oh wow. Okay. 80.
I'm going to go 84.
We're all
I first of all, just really enjoy this movie. Secondly, mm-hmm. I'm grading it on a slight curve for degree of difficulty.
Yeah, that's
I think
true.
That they really pulled off something here.
Yeah, because that's like something that I had read was like how everybody else was trying to like, okay, now we need to build a universe mm-hmm. after this. Without really doing the legwork
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as they did. And, you know, and I don't know if this was like the game plan from jump was to have an Avengers movie.
I mean, they do like have that post credit scene in Iron Man, right? When Nick Fury shows up and says, I'd like to tell you about the Avengers initiative.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. But yeah, I mean, yeah. They managed to pull it off in such a way that it was like, all right, here's, you know, book 1, 2, and 3. And like, here's the payoff.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very difficult. We don't want to be in the business of praising Joss Whedon as previously
yes,
discussed.
Yes, if you want to hear us talk about how much we don't like Joss Whedon, please go back to our Avengers Age of Ultron episode.
I do think the transition was proper. I think that Joss Whedon proved that he is very good at doing serious stuff. He was very good at doing serious stuff and having fun with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Making serious stuff silly. The Russos make silly stuff serious.
Okay.
And so, you know, we've got every superhero you've ever met and they're jumping through holes and anything can happen. But Endgame and Infinity War feel like Saving Private Ryan when they have to.
Right? You know?
Yeah.
Great. 80 and a third is your score for the Avengers. To the bingo card. Bingo card may be reevaluated in the future.
There's nothing here. There really should have been a Harry Dean Stanton on this card. I wish.
Does Gal Gadot count by transitive properties? You know, I mean, would they have made Wonder Woman if it hadn't been like,
no,
gotcha, MCU, we'll absolutely have not a female superhero before you did.
No way.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
And that's a great movie.
Yep.
So it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Where to begin?
I haven't pulled my finger.
Let's talk about Disclosure Day.
I can't believe I liked a Steven Spielberg alien movie more than you.
Yeah, I, as previously mentioned, I am very tired. We opened a show last night, busy at work, and so I was very sleepy for this one. May have actually nodded off once or twice. On the other hand, I may have actually nodded off once or twice.
It's shocking to me.
Also, I saw it during a thunderstorm and the theater turned off for a while.
Oh.
And people started screaming with rage.
Oh my God.
Like people were so, there was a guy that was so mad. And it was partially because it like, the first thing that happened was it continued playing.
Without the picture?
With the picture, but the sound was replaced with a irritating hum.
Oh, for like that'll do it.
15 minutes. And by the
end. Wait, did you just sit there through an irritating hum when.
I mean, I eventually went out to get some clarification and
I would have been like, all right, that's it for me.
Well, I had to review it.
Okay.
You know, and they eventually got it back and successfully rewound it. So it also took longer than it should have taken.
All right. That'll really impact your appreciation of a film.
All of those caveats aside and without spoilering, this movie ended where it should have began.
You know, I remember thinking once it got really exciting at the end, like, oh, I kind of want to know what's going to happen in the next 2 hours.
Yeah, that I loved the last 20, 30 minutes, however long that sequence was. Again, not telling you what it's about. And starting there and showing the world after that, I think is fantastic and would have been so compelling. Again, talking around it, what you basically have is 2 hours of chase scenes.
Yep.
And then that really interesting thing. And if it's 2 hours of chase scenes, that could have been cowboys that just robbed a train. That could have been spies that are trying to get out of Russia. That could have been anything. It didn't actually relate to the cool alien stuff. Mm. It's just generic action with an alien overlay.
Well, my evaluation of this movie was like, oh, that is a clearly and deeply flawed movie that I genuinely loved. Like, I had such a good time at the movies yesterday. Mm-hmm. The people who are saying this, no, this is actually great, are reading a lot of spirituality into it. And I do think one of the big weaknesses for me was Baby Bono, whose character is like, she was training to be a nun and decided not to be a nun. And her reaction to the aliens is a crisis of faith.
Although I do think she was good.
She's not a bad actor.
The character is flawed, but I think she
did. The character is weak and then also just disappears, right? Yeah. And that was a big failure for me on the film, because I was like, if you're going to get this huge emotional payoff that you're trying to go for with this, like, you know, on the fundamental, like, spiritual level, like, don't make your character who's having a spiritual crisis disappear for an act. Mm-hmm. That being said, Emily Blunt, I think that's the best she's been in anything maybe ever, at least since Quiet Place. Mm-hmm. She's so good, and I'm not normally a huge fan of hers. First of all, thank God that he got her in a window between filler appointments, because her face looked relatively normal in this movie, which I cannot say for her other recent work. Which, like, how do you think that goes? Like, do you think Steven Spielberg sat down with her and was like, can you cut it out for 6 months? You want to be in a movie with me, but you have to leave your face alone for 6 months.
I think there are four levels of go-between.
Yeah, okay.
That it goes to HR and then goes to the PR person for the HR person, and then they negotiate.
Okay.
And eventually a memo gets back.
How did they get Emily Blunt to not mess with her face long enough for her to look normal in a movie? All that being said, she's so fucking good. She's so, so funny and great and watchable and... all of the parts with her, and I thought Wyatt Russell was really funny too, where I was just like, I kind of want to go back to them every time we went to Josh O'Connor and Baby Bono. And that being said, like, I'm like, one of the biggest weaknesses is those characters, or especially her, just leaving.
And Josh O'Connor isn't very good.
He does seem a little out of his depth. His character is also underwritten.
He made me think the thing that I always think when we meet a lead character like that, which I've said on here before, could you not have found a Kurt Russell to do this? And then Wyatt showed up and I was like, close.
No, but they use Wyatt Russell the way you should use Wyatt Russell. Look at this fucking douchebag.
Yeah.
I had such a good time with the chase stuff. Right. I was like,
well, Spielberg shot it, right. So it's pretty good.
There's a fucking invisible fire truck. I'm like, this is the best movie I've ever seen in my life. Other things I didn't like about it, the CGI animals all look incredibly bad. But then that might make sense in universe.
I was walking out there and I was like, that does explain it. But they still look bad.
They look so bad.
Don't write a thing that's like, they have to look bad because of X. Just make them look
good. Just make them look good. Yeah. Like, we have the technology. Yeah. Richard Parker was 14 years ago.
Occasionally people get it right, but we don't really have the technology. Like, the Sheep and Sheep Detectives didn't look good either.
Okay.
Like, they're all still weightless, and they're all still too smooth. Look at an actual animal for once, anyone who does that. Their movements are weird and jerky because your eye doesn't move as fast as animals move. Side rant over. Continue.
Okay, yeah. So I, like, really liked it, and I am surprised that you and others didn't, even though I'm like, yeah, okay, I see what's wrong with that movie. Oh, and then I guess the other main thing I want to talk about, we were, you know, talking about plot devices earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm like, Emily Blunt's entire, she's like plot device, the character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's an interesting parallel, I guess, between the thing that Colin Firth can do with the technology and the thing she can do with the spoiler. But yeah, it's the script is what let me down. Mm. I don't think David Koepp is good.
What?
Let's go to the videotape.
Okay. I liked both of those Soderbergh movies last year. I like Jurassic Park.
He has written so many movies, and several of them are legitimately good. Most of the one, not all, but most of the ones that are legitimately good, somebody else was there. Death Becomes Her has a co-writer. Jurassic Park is him punching up Michael Crichton. He has good ones. He wrote Carlito's Way and The Paper. Mission Impossible has two co-writers, including Steven Zaillian, who did the fun stuff for a while. Spider-Man, he did all on his own. But he also did Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which is abominable. Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds, which is bad. That Tom Cruise mummy movie.
You think War of the Worlds is bad?
I do think War of the Worlds is bad.
Okay.
Johnny Depp in Mordecai. Like,
good God.
He has written a lot of really bad movies, and most, not all, like, he has a hit every now and then. Most of his good movies, there were other people around for.
Sure. Okay.
I think he's wildly inconsistent, and I think this is a script that did a lot of the wrong things, and that dragged it down for me. I still gave it 3 stars. I gave it 3 stars, but no heart. Okay. It's still a good movie because it's Steven Spielberg doing an alien thing that has a high floor, and I want to see it again. I want to see how much a rain delay and my sleepiness impacted it. Maybe it'll get a half star bump on a rewatch, but it had too many problems.
Similarly, I'm like, it is entirely possible that the next time I watch this movie, all of the bullshit will be too much and I will think it's not good.
We'll meet in the middle.
Or it is possible. Mm-hmm. Steven Spielberg does have a history of making movies that are somewhat divisive when they first come out. And then a few years later, people are like, you know, it was actually really good.
Randy Bauman was yelling at me to watch Empire of the Sun.
I've also never seen Empire of the Sun.
Yeah. I'll just lightning round through. Well, no, there's too much to talk about. I'm grabbing the mic and keeping it. I caught up with Backrooms. Robin saw it before I did. It's, if you grade on the 20-year-old made this curve, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I mean that as a compliment. Like, yeah, like you did something with a distinct visual style and a decent amount of originality isn't the word, but new applications of old ideas. Mm-hmm. And you're 20 and you started working on this when you were 16. Great job. I would not be angry if it got an art direction nomination.
I would think that was phenomenal.
And I'm so happy that it's making so much money that I barely want to say anything critical about it all. It's just one of those horror movies where the mystery is way better than the payoff.
Yeah.
You know, the more explicit we get about what's going on there. And they kind of halfwayed it where it's like Mark Duplass walks in at the last minute like, I'm going to explain this, but I don't actually know what's going on. Either give us nothing or everything.
Yeah.
Either sit down and say, here's what this is, or don't do that at all. Right. But I love the setting. I love the cast. I love a lot of the scenes early on. I don't know why we're supposed to believe that any human being would find themselves in that scenario and keep exploring alone.
I don't know. People climb Everest, Sean.
Yeah.
People have weird lack of self-preservation.
But I liked it a lot. It's not, you know, it's not going to end up near the top of my list for the year. It has flaws. The humming did not bother me because I was out of doors and didn't hear it as well.
I was going to say, this is a movie you watched wrong. You're just cheating to watch Backrooms at a drive-in.
I watched which is also, that's why I'm not all in on The Strangers.
Because you watched it at a drive-in?
I watched it at the drive-in. I'm not trapped in the, I'm not looking around my shoulder to see where the strangers are.
Definitely the worst place to watch The Strangers is in your own house.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the best place. And yeah, I really wanted to catch up to the Backrooms and I really wanted to go to the drive-in. And I combined those desires.
And there were a million people there, you said, right?
Oh, there were 150, 200 people there on a Monday night.
That's just so wild.
It's doing so, so well. And good for him and good for it. And keep making more movies.
Yeah.
I saw a scary movie.
Yeah.
Did you?
Nah, I don't like those.
2.5 stars, but a like.
Okay.
You know.
Is Regina Hall back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and she's funny. The saving grace is the funny people are all here.
Okay.
It's the first... Only the first two have the weigh-ins, and the fifth one didn't even have Vanna Faris and Regina Hall.
Oh,
really?
What a waste.
So they got all of them back. Those are four funny people.
Yeah.
They're being funny, and they're doing Family Guy shotgun-style comedy. There is a joke every 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Two of them are not funny. Two of them bother you a little bit. One you chuckle at, and one you laugh really hard at.
Right.
You know, it is not a good movie. It was more just like, I'm just glad we can be silly again.
Yeah.
I'm just glad we're here being silly goofballs and doing horror movie parodies, you know, every 5 seconds. And some of them are dumb and out of place and some of them worked. You know, it's, you know what you're getting. Camila, do you want to comment further or
on Scary Movie?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just don't like them. Like it's that shotgun style comedy that I don't really like. And sometimes I think the one that I have seen, like some of the jokes just go too far.
Yeah.
It's just not my taste.
No, they unabashedly are saying like, that's what we're doing here.
And you know, and that's fine. If people enjoy that, if that's their thing, I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum. I just know where I stand. Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna say you have to see it. I'm saying if you did, there would be five times that you laughed really hard and felt bad about it afterwards. But
yeah, I'm so trying to preserve my soul.
Yeah.
It's harder and harder these days.
I know.
I've given up. Power Ballad is really good, and no one's gonna see Power Ballad. like this is one of those, like, maybe it's gonna find an airplane streaming life, mm-hmm. but like this is right in the, like, no one goes to the movie theater for a movie like this. But Paul Rudd is so good. Whichever Jonas it is does his job very well, and it's legitimate. It's the guy that did Once and Sing Street and okay. all those charming movies. And it's a real dramedy. It's a little funny, but it's serious and you care about the stakes. It's just really well written and nice.
I enjoy that those exist.
Yeah.
Is it a true musical?
Power Ballad? Yeah. No. Okay. I mean, they have some songs.
I mean, they're calling it a comedy/musical.
No. I mean, there's musical sequences.
Okay.
The song, the big song that it's all about is not as good as it should be.
So it's not as good as Drive It Like You Stole It?
It is not. Yeah. No.
As good as Drive It Like You Stole It?
They have one of the songs from Once, and I'm like, hey, don't you, that cheating. You can't reuse songs that you wrote and were good before. Or was that the point? That's it. And I saw The Birdcage 30th anniversary in theaters, yeah. and it's cute. Still great.
The only other thing started. I saw was Hoppers, which is now on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. It is very chaotic. That movie, I kind
in
of...
In a good way?
This is the thing. I wish I watched it with children because I wish I had watched it with children who have already seen it, who could try to explain to me what is going on while it is going on, because that would be A, really cute, mm-hmm. and B, help me. Chaotic movie, but cute.
Is it a, oh my God, you have to see this because
no,
it's
going to
be best animated feature nominee.
No, it is worth putting on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something to help lighten your soul.
Yes, correct. It will lighten your soul. And I do think kids will really like it. Like, if Kaj hasn't seen it, I think she'll enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. She's really been stuck on Swapped.
What is that?
Michael B. Jordan voices Squirrel. Or something like
okay.
Start, oh no! Yes, Netflix. Yeah. I saw this like in the list
new?
Of things that were coming out, but there was no chatter about it.
Yeah, like I keep like missing. Like I have yet to sit down and watch the whole thing, so I'm getting like bits and pieces out of order. But I think he starts off as a bird, and then like something happens where he switches bodies with another animal.
That's fascinating because this is about going inside of beaver robots.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Is the bird smoke or stack? Which is... I don't see how this fits into the...
Is he wearing red or blue?
Universe. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Halloween Horror Nights, Sinner's House this October.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Are they having a live band, too? That'd be super cool.
Are they going to have Cunnilingus?
You would hope.
That is extra.
Hazard picks.
Next level.
Camila.
Is this thing on? I watched that.
That.
Oh, yeah. With the guy.
Arnett. Yeah. I was getting ready to say Jason Bateman.
I was going to say Will Whenever Forte. I saw the trailer for that, it gave me like PTSD from when I worked at the Comedy Theater. And like, I just have had too much of my life has gone to recently divorced men learning stand up. So I'm very grateful that movie didn't get nominated for anything.
Yeah, it's definitely not a necessary watch. It was just like, it was really meh, like the whole way through. There were a couple of funny moments. I gave it 2.5 stars and a heart. Like, nobody.
That
like,
seems generous.
And it's only because I really like Will Arnett.
Okay.
Was the heart. So that's meh. And I saw Obsession yesterday.
Thoughts, feelings. Okay. Tie breaking.
Yeah. Which one of us wins?
It did its job as a horror movie very well. Like, there were definitely a couple times where I screamed out loud where in a theater, I rarely do. I forget what your point was. I know Robin, I lost my train of thought. I remember talking to my friend afterwards and like, I didn't get that. What were you saying? Oh, yes. That the hypothesis was that the screenwriter is saying, look how crazy girls are.
Like, right. I don't think they were saying that on purpose. Okay. I think that their heart said that and it came out onto film.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I just saw it as like very much. This is a demon in this girl.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's not like this boy has very much, he realizes how he fucked up, and he realizes that this is a fucked up situation and it's my fault. I did this. And he's trying to take accountability for it. But it's fucking crazy. Like, that was some wild shit. And I was like, seriously, I've been thinking about it since yesterday. Mm. And it's as a horror film, it works as just scary. And it also works as like trying to really think it through as to what it all means. Like, what are we trying to say? And it's definitely not just it's just a scary movie. There is a deeper meaning here mm-hmm. somewhere. I'm just not sure exactly what that is, aside from the possession of it all. And I don't know if...
Damn it, we're both right. Because you're with me on the horror, but I mean, this was Robin's point, right?
Yeah.
It's not actually monkey's paw wish gone wrong. It's a demon
story.
Showed up.
Yeah. It's absolutely a possession story.
Why not start from first principles with that? If that's the story that's interesting to you of he loves this woman and he gets what he wanted, but then she's awful. Like, why not? Why bring in the wish?
But I think that's the whole, I don't know. It's because it's not saying that he gets what he wanted. Because even from Jump Street, he's like, did you like me at all
right.
any time before this kind of thing? So he knows on a level. And it probably should have been called possession to like give us a double meaning there.
Have you ever seen the movie Possession?
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen that movie.
Oh, my God. It's fantastic. It's hard to watch.
I've heard only... amazing things, and I like Isabella Gianni, so like it should watch it.
It's hard to watch both in there's many things that are troubling, and also they're doing weird acting. It's one of those with very heightened, stilted performances, so
okay.
it's hard to like grab onto, but it's really, really good.
Sorry, I got distracted because the reason they didn't call it Possession is there's already a movie called Possession.
What year did that come out?
81, 82. Oh, okay. Sam Neill's in it, and a lot of people were comparing. Still can't forget her name.
Andy Navarrete.
Comparing this performance to that performance.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd like to really get. First of all, she's not related to Natalie Portman. I'm sitting there thinking, like, doing math in my head. I know she's got a kid with this child. is this Natalie Portman's baby? Because
her kid's
looks,
like 15.
Okay. Yeah. And a boy, I think. But she looks just like her. And, like, everything. She was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and just her performance was just amazing. I've never seen she did a version of a possessed individual that I have never seen before.
Yeah.
And it was like very fucking believable that you are thinking, yes, there the actual girl is trapped inside
it
there
is
and trying to fight her way out.
Really upsetting every time she like snaps out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's so upsetting.
It is. And then there's also this trick that they're using with the lights all the time where she's in the darkness.
Oh, I love that.
And the shadows.
That's the 9 to a 10 for me is
exactly.
the moment.
Exactly.
Composition of moments like
it's
that.
It's like, my God. It's like, okay. It's like, this is really thought out. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a thinker. I would absolutely, like, if you enjoy a horror movie in any way, shape, or form, you should watch this movie. I highly recommend it. I will watch it again whenever it comes to streaming just to kind of pick it apart a little bit more.
And I will run the other fucking direction.
That is your right.
Yeah.
I have two questions for the room. One I'll spoiler obscure. When she asked him, like, do you like me? Tell me now.
Mm-hmm.
Was she going to be receptive or was she like, I'm bringing this up so I can shut it down?
I think she wanted to shut it down.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she did admit, like, there was supposed to be a conversation between the girls that she had friend zoned him, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she was going to shut it down. And that more because it's like, you know, a girl can tell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or people in general can tell if somebody likes them like that.
But it's interesting because like she's still calling him and pouring her heart out and doing the you're the only one that understands me. And I don't know if she would be doing that if she also was like wary and eager to shut him down.
Yes.
Yes, she would.
Yes.
I mean, age.
I mean, it's not even, and I'm not even clear what that age is anymore. Like, where that's 25, also,
I was just
going
to say, mid-20s. One thing that was very unclear to me is, are these characters real grown-ups or not?
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I'm so unclear. But, yes, it's not to say that it's something that's done on purpose or that is trying to be malicious. It's just that if this dude is going to offer himself up to be that shoulder, And she, you know, maybe for the longest time has just been like, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And then this night he's been acting like a real fuck. Like, it's like, okay, like, listen, now we have to address it.
Yeah.
Now it's weird.
Yeah.
So
it's
quite possible.
My second question, which I'll spoiler free, when blank and blank were sitting in the car.
Yo.
And blank got her face blanked by blank.
Yo.
Did you see that coming or no?
Yes, but not to that extent.
That is exactly the same. I knew something like that was going to happen.
Because of the way it was shot.
Yes. And also just where we were in the rhythm of the movie. It was time.
Right.
I did not expect it to be anywhere near that gross.
And, well, there was that.
But also, like, and it took me a minute to realize that there was help there. You know what I'm saying?
I do not know what you're saying. Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck, she's, but oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, that took it to a whole nother level.
No, because Mary Beth leaned over to me and was like, I did not see that coming. And I was like, for the last 3 minutes, I've been like, pour one out for blank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the last moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
Let's draw a movie.
Good old traditional draw.
All right.
And we do still have a veto in play.
While. I thought we did this movie. What? Oh, no, we did Oh God, You Devil. Oh, I landed on Oh God. It's late enough in the year. Veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
It was just so, I mean, this is like, when the hell did we do Oh God, You Devil?
A long time ago.
That was our...
And let me tell you, the thing I remember about Oh God, You Devil is the upside down rainbow. That's all I got memory.
I don't even remember that. We gave it a 35 and a third. I'm sure the earlier films in the series are better, but it was just so boring.
Yeah, Oh God's an Oscar nominee.
Really?
Yeah, screenplay.
Well, we're not going to find out if it deserved it.
Yeah. But they probably could have gotten us some bingo cards.
It's George Burns and John Denver, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're not on here.
Yep.
Good veto, because we're going to a classic that I am sorry to admit I have never seen. Training Day.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I am so excited on so many levels right now. You don't even know it. Like, I can't even. Just got to jump.
We haven't had enough chances to talk about Denzel Washington.
I know.
Could we ever? We have talked about him.
We did a Denzel movie, I'm
Which
sure.
Which one was it?
Or maybe it was
American Gangster.
That's
oh,
right.
That's right.
That's what I'm thinking. My wife.
And, you know, we've had a chance to talk about him in You Can't Handle the Truth from time to time.
Right.
But.
A whole
this
episode dedicated to
talking about one of his best performances.
Denzel Washington.
Yes.
Well, and it's I listened to the sadly short-lived basketball podcast Six Trophies with Chase Serrano and who did movies and other stuff.
Oh, okay.
And Jason Concepcion, which only lasted like a year and a half, but their like winner of the week was the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy for the greatest individual performance this week.
Nice. Mm.
And so I'm like, I think he might be very good in this film. Perhaps.
So wait, you've never seen Training? Oh, boy. Oh, this is going to be a fun episode.
Right?
Yay! Like,
I'm stoked. This is great.
I also own this movie, so that's great. Yep.
Samesies.
Seems a lot better than Oh God.
Yeah.
Yes, good job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Feel good about that one. Before we get there... The Avengers... Before we get to Training Day, The Avengers was released May 4th, 2012. What was the number one song in America?
Lady Gaga.
No.
Interesting. Pink.
No.
What's that little girl's name? Selena Gomez?
Mm-mm. You're in the star category. You should be in the one-hit wonder category.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Camila.
But you didn't have to cut me off. Somebody that I used to know.
Yes.
Very nice. That was one of the times I wish that we were on video, because watching the lightning bolt.
It was more of a spell was being cast.
Yes.
Like Camila was
conjuring it
calling out for this memory to return to her.
It was the
That was what's
traveling through my body, through my limbs.
Someone tried to describe this song to me once, forgetting both the title, the words, and the name, and tried to do the doot doos. But no, they just went like do 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 do. I'm like, are you doing the Mexican hat dance? What? You were not getting there.